You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Bonjour, it's time for your weekly podcast from Corner House. I'm your regular host, Sarah Perks, Programme and Engagement Director. This week, we've got a special extended feature on Francois Ozon and his new film, Potiche, and I'm joined by two very special guests who are preeminent experts on both his work and contemporary French cinema generally. We also have an exclusive interview with leading artist and filmmaker Clio Bernard about her work and particularly about her stunning feature debut, The Arbor. As always, we've got regular features of a What's On guide and a staff recommendation of the week. So straight into our film focus, this week's big new release is Potiche. It's directed by an established French filmmaker, Francois Ozon, and I'm really delighted to be joined by two special guests this week who are very much in the know about French cinema. I'd like to introduce Dr. Isabel van der Schelden and Dr. Darren Waldron. They're both lecturers in French studies locally. Isabel's at Manchester Metropolitan University and Darren is at the University of Manchester. Okay, let's start with you, Darren. If you could introduce us to the director, Ozon, and tell us a little bit about him for people who may not be so familiar with his work.
Well, he studied at the FEMIS, a very famous French film school in Paris, and he started making short films in the middle of the 1990s, and the most famous was one called A Summer Dress, or Une Robe d'été. I suppose people who know him because he became famous on the festival circuit, and in particular, lesbian and gay and transgender bisexual film festival. So A Summer Dress is a very typical film of Ozon's because it talks about sort of gay sexuality, but not just gay sexuality. He likes to put his gay characters with straight characters, etc., and sort of mix things up. So people see him as very much a queer film director. And after that, he made a few kind of comic and also thriller films like Sitcom, quite kind of comic black humour film, and Les Amants Criminels, or Criminal Lovers as well. Another theme of his work is the kind of the breakdown in relationships. So we do have a more serious strand to his work as well. So you can see that in films like Water Drops on Burning Rocks, for example. And then he has a sort of a trilogy about sort of death, much more serious, like Under the Sand, Time to Leave, and The Refuge. And I think all of those were here at Corner House. His most successful film so far has been Huit Femmes, which more than 3 million people went to see in France. And that's because it has so many of the big French female stars, like Catherine Deneuve, who's in Potiche, Isabelle Huppert, and Fanny Ardant. What's really important, though, about Ozon is that he's very provocative in his cinema. He likes to play with his audiences quite a lot. He uses irony, camp, kitsch, and we see that quite a lot in Potiche, and he likes to surprise his audience. So often, you know, you think you're watching quite a serious film, and all of a sudden it will change into something very, very comic. He often sort of breaks it up with sort of dance and music routines, that sort of thing as well. So sometimes it can be a bit sort of destabilizing for the audience because you think, oh, I wasn't really expecting that. So, but this brings in a sort of much funnier element, and he's very aware of theatre as well. So there's always a theatrical element, or often a theatrical element, to his films, which is something we certainly get in Potiche.
Thank you, Darren. So, Isabel, tell us a little bit more about a couple of his previous films that our audience may be familiar with that run at Corner House.
Well, I think British audience are likely to have seen perhaps Eight Women, Huit Femmes, or Swimming Pool, because that was shot in English with Charlotte Rampling in 2003. Eight Women is quite interesting, and if you liked Eight Women, you will like Potiche, I think, because there are quite a lot of common points. It's about eight stars put into a situation in a quite theatrical kind of context and put in front of all kinds of provocative situations that the audience don't expect, and I think a little bit of this happened in Potiche as well. Swimming Pool was quite successful as well, because it had a strong thriller element and quite a bit of sexy as well elements that the audience associate with French cinema. And Ludivine Sagnier was the young rising star that came into the film as well, who is an actress that Ozon has used in many of his early films too, as if he had a bit discovered her.
And a question for both of you, really. Who would you compare Ozon to? So who are his contemporaries in French cinema or beyond?
Well, he kind of emerged among a group of directors who were sort of looking at questions of gay sexuality, lesbian sexuality, queer sexuality, that sort of thing. So people like Ducastel and Martineau, who made a film called Drôle de Félix. And then Christophe Honoré, who did Love Songs, I think, which is a musical. and Don Paris, and then Sébastien Lifshitz, who did Wild Side. So these kind of directors were looking at sort of you know, questions about sexuality. Queer sexuality wasn't really part of the drama. It was completely just kind of established, and then the films were about other things. So he's kind of come through in that group, really. But a lot of people have also likened him to people like Gaspar Noé and Catherine Breillat, because some of his films can be quite extreme, or they've been, people have said they're quite extreme in terms of what they show in terms of sexuality, etc. But I think that's a bit of a false comparison, really. And then he's very individual. He doesn't like making the same type of film again and again. He likes to change and he likes to surprise his audience. So it's very difficult to actually relate him to anyone in particular. But he makes, you know, he makes references to lots of different directors.
Because he went to that film school that Darren was talking about before. He belongs to a sort of family of young directors who emerged in the 1990s, having been trained as directors, but also having quite a strong image as auteur in the European kind of sense of the term, where the director has got a strong personal image, and films where the themes, coherence comes from film to film, and you find things from film to film. And another thing that's interesting about Ozon is that he has a solid knowledge of cinema because he trained in cinema, and as a result of that, his films are quite intertextual, paying tributes to all kinds of directors that he liked, particularly the musicals of the American cinema in the 50s. But as Darren was saying, he does defy categorization because his films are so different, and people cannot expect to see a second film the same as the previous one they've seen.
Let's talk about the film now. So Patiche, which I believe means trophy. Darren, tell us a little bit about the synopsis.
Well, it focuses on Catherine Deneuve, who plays Suzanne Pujol, who's a wife of an industrialist. He runs an umbrella factory. And there's a strike at the factory, and he gets taken hostage. And so they look for someone to replace him. So they decide to ask Suzanne Pujol. He comes back to the house, and then he goes on this sort of period of convalescence, which includes a cruise. And while he's away, she takes over the factory, and she succeeds in harmonizing everything in the factory. So everything's absolutely wonderful. And then he comes back wanting to get his place back, but she resists him. But eventually she's actually voted out by the board, and in fact by her daughter. And so then she embarks on a political career.
Okay, and Isabel, tell us about the stars in the film. I know Ozon always has a big star-studded cast.
Yeah, of course, the film stars Catherine Deneuve, who has been in Eight Women as well, and Ozon doesn't make it a secret that he loves female stars and loves to have them in front of his camera. And it's quite interesting to see Catherine Deneuve paired again with Gérard Depardieu, because everybody will remember them together in Le Dernier Métro, Truffaut, 1980, for example, but also other films have been together. So Catherine Deneuve, interesting, because she doesn't hesitate and she's not afraid of playing with her image. She comes out as quite different as the sort of icon of French cinema, the Eisen Maiden and so on, that we are familiar with. And you'll see as well that there are references to her other roles, for example, some films of Jacques Demy, the musicals of the 60s, Les Parapluies de Cherbourg, or perhaps even you might see references to Belle de Jour as well, the Buñuel film that she made in the 60s. So Gérard Depardieu is Gérard Depardieu, and I can't say much more than that. But if you've seen Gérard Depardieu recently, he has become a much more human, socially aware kind of character, and it's quite interesting to see him as the softie again, because he's got this sort of soft and fragile side to his image all the time. And you might also recognize Fabrice Luchini, that you perhaps don't know so well, but if you're familiar with Romer films, he was the young premier in many Romer films in the 70s. But in France, he's associated more with a very theatrical acting style, a diction that's quite recognizable, and a sense of humor that's really linked to the use of language. It's a bit played down in this film. And the last one I would like to mention perhaps is Karine Viard, because Karine Viard, again, has been in a lot of films of the young directors we were talking about before, perhaps La Nouvelle F, for example, in 1999. And she's really well fitted to the role here, playing a sort of secretary of the 70s. She loves putting up roles like that, where she puts on quite extreme character. She did it in Capiche films recently as well. So you will recognize the familiar faces. I might have forgotten others, but these are the main ones.
Okay, and staying with you, Isabel, first, what did you think of the film?
Well, I loved the film. This was like pure pleasure. You don't have to take it too seriously. It's just to have fun. And if you like cinema, it's full of cinematic references. If you're interested in French culture and politics, it's full of references as well. So you can find different ways of enjoying the film. The sets are beautiful, the costumes and decors as well, as is often the case with Ozon. And I particularly like the dialogue. They're full of double entendre and puns that unfortunately are not always in the subtitles, but you just have to live with that.
And you, Darren?
I absolutely love the film. It's kind of a return to some of the things that Ozon used to do earlier on in his career, and certainly you get that in Huit Femmes. I like the irony, the provocation. Even though it doesn't go quite as far as some of his other films, it's still very funny. I liked all the references and the music, some of the sort of French popular music of the time, and also some references to other films, because Ozon sort of, he does refer to people like Douglas Sirk, and you can see that as well as Jacques Demy that you were saying, Isabelle. So yeah, it's very funny, and it's also very funny to see Catherine Deneuve as this kind of pseudo-feminist, really, when you think about her career and how she's evolved, etc. And to see her as this sort of very middle-class feminist figure is very good.
And it's also a thumbs-up from me, you'll be glad to know. After my rather like disparaging review of Little White Lies earlier in the year, I'm back with confidence, ready to watch more French films after that experience. And Patiche is delightful. It's a little bit camp. I liked the costumes as well, they were amazing. Obviously the stars are all fantastic, and you could just sit and watch them, I think, whatever they're actually doing. Interesting sort of feminist kind of plot that's going on. It's a bit like a sort of Maid in Dagenham or something, yeah. But then the roles are reversed because they're the factory owners. So much to enjoy in Patiche, and I'd definitely be recommending it. Are either of you familiar with the play that the film is based on?
Not really. I mean, I saw that he said that it was freely adapted from the play, so it would be really interesting to see if all of, you know, what elements he's actually retained and which ones he hasn't. All I know is that it's kind of boulevard play from the 1970s, but I've never read it.
It was shown on French television in 1980 as part of a series of very popular plays that belong to the boulevard tradition, and that would not be well known to the French either. And also, it's interesting to see that Ozon actually wrote the screenplay, the dialogue and everything. So in effect, the adaptation is probably as much Ozon's films as the plot of the actual original play, although it is quite stagey in places in the way the film is made.
And how authentic a representation is it of 1977 in France?
I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, I recognise the sort of colour schemes, clothing, and etc. It's quite parodic as well, but the pastiche is there, and he's paid a lot of attention to trying to reconstruct period, but in a quite amusing and slightly disparaging kind of way as well.
Okay, so there's a big round of applause for Patiche, and you should definitely check it out, whether you're a fan of French cinema, into your 70s clothes perhaps, or like a good camp-slash-satirical in parts comedy. So Patiche is screening at Corner House from tomorrow, Friday the 17th of June, for at least 2 weeks. Check our website for the times. But of course, I'm not going to let Isabel and Darren go without joining in our ever-popular quickfire round. So I've explained to them already how it works, so going straight into it. First off, Darren, what's your best François Ozon film?
Criminal Lovers, because it's quite disturbing. It's one of his very early films, and it's very ironic, but also quite provocative. It's about two young teenagers who carry out a murder, and then they get sort of like taken hostage by this kind of ogre in the woods, and they're held in this kind of dungeon by him, basically. So it's quite disturbing, quite dark, but typical Ozon films, yeah.
Okay, and Isabel?
Mine is Eight Women. I love this idea of having the eight sort of most prominent stars put together and having to fight against each other, literally and figuratively, to be the star of the film and also be put in situation where they put their image at risk, and I thought that was a great film.
Yes, I definitely recommend everybody watches Eight Women if you haven't seen it. And I'll go for Swimming Pool, which was mentioned before. And next one, the best recent French or Francophone film that you've seen at Corner House, Isabel.
Well, it's not very, very recent, but it's called 35 Rooms. It's by Claire Denis, and it's a very subtle, very understated film about daily life in Paris, and the relationship between a father and his daughter, and I thought that was a great film.
Darren?
I guess my favourite one is the one that you had on last week, which is called Heartbeats by Xavier Dolan, because I think that he's very interesting as a new director. He's only about, I think he was only 21 when he made that film. Again, it's very provocative cinema, but he knows his aesthetic, so, you know, I think it's very interesting from that point of view, so I would certainly say that's a good film.
Oh, I was going to go for Heartbeats as well. We had our Xavier Dolan Le Fest the other week. But I'll go for A Screaming Man, which was the film from Chad, which was an amazing art house film that you should remember again from a few weeks ago. Okay, we've got a double part to this last quickfire round. Your best Catherine Deneuve and your best Gérard Depardieu. Darren.
Catherine Deneuve, I would say, Huit Femmes or Eight Women, because it's great to see her, as Isabel said, among all those other stars, and to see this kind of rivalry between them. And Gérard Depardieu, I think there's a film called Too Beautiful for You or Trop Belle pour Toi, from about 1990, I think, in which he plays this again a sort of industrialist, and he falls for the not conventionally attractive secretary, even though he's actually married to a very beautiful wife. And what Isabel was saying earlier on about the vulnerability that's coming back out of Gérard Depardieu at the moment, which is really interesting, because that's what I liked about those earlier films of Depardieu before he did all the adaptations and the historical epics, which were a little bit less interesting, so I'd say that.
I think I put them both in the same film, Le Dernier Métro. I think Catherine Deneuve and Gérard Depardieu in that film are just fantastic. Catherine Deneuve comes out as really sort of so protective, so full of control, and Depardieu is completely in love with her. And I think the same happens in this film. But Depardieu has also been recently in a film called Mammouth, which is very weird, where he plays a retired guy who tries to get back to the places where he's worked to actually collect his unpaid pension documents. And it's quite close to the role he has in Potiche there. He has quite a political role that it seems to indicate a strand of political awareness in Depardieu's choice of roles recently.
I'm going to have, for Deneuve, the Belle de Jour, the Buñuel classic, and then I'm going to cop out, but I would say it definitely shows his sensitive side with this is for Depardieu, with the English language film Green Card. I know you'll remember it, with Andy McDowell. Okay, so thank you, Isabel. Thank you, Darren, for joining this week's podcast.
Thank you.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Corner House, Manchester.
Now it's time for our What Song Guide at a Corner House and sometimes beyond. We're booking now for a Countdown to Zero preview, and there's also a satellite Q&A with Lucy Walker. She's the director of the film. That's on Tuesday, the 21st of June at 6:30. You may remember that Lucy Walker directed the recent release in February called Wasteland, and now she takes on the nuclear threat with a really impressive array of talking heads, including Tony Blair and Mikhail Gorbachev. Also booking now, we've got a special screening of Son of Babylon as part of Manchester Kurdish Film Festival. And I saw this film last year. It's an amazing film. I highly recommend it. Really compelling story about a young boy and his grandma who goes to search for their missing father in Iraq just after the fall of Saddam Hussein. And we also have the director here for a Q&A. And so you can book ahead for that now on Saturday the 25th of June at 8:20. In fact, you could spend the whole day here on Saturday the 25th of June, because we've also, earlier on in the day, we have a tour and talk about Constellations, which is our new exhibition. So as soon as it opens that day at 12 o'clock, you can join a free tour and talk all about Constellations and really get into the exhibition and find out about the artwork. You could stay maybe after lunch and join our Magda Archer preview. That's a completely free drop-in event in Gallery 1 from 4 o'clock that afternoon. Then maybe grab a drink before watching Son of Babylon. A perfect day.
You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Earlier this week, we had a screening of The Arbor as part of our Play It Again series, so bringing back a recent film that you think more people should have seen, perhaps. And we had a special director's Q&A with Clio Barnard, who's the artist filmmaker responsible for The Arbor. And while she was here, our engagement coordinator, Aphrodite, took the opportunity to ask her a few questions.
The Arbor walks the line between documentary and drama. Was that always the intention?
Yeah, it was, because part of the intention was to try and think about the relationship between documentary and fiction and ask an audience to think about the relationship between the two. And, you know, often documentaries are structured like fiction films, and of course they're always mediated. And in a way, with the lip-syncing and the performance of the Arbour, Andrea Dunbar's play on the Arbour, the street where she grew up, in a way they're both ways of slightly distancing an audience to make them, I hope, think about how mediated documentaries are and always are.
You recorded audio interviews with the Dunbar family, to which the actors in the film had to lip-sync to. This must have been very, very challenging. And what difficulties did you come across while you were doing this?
It was very, very challenging for the actors. And they really took that challenge on themselves. And it was... And Manjinder Virk, who plays Lorraine in the film, she's described it as like learning a piece of music. So she'd put it on her iPod and wear headphones and learn every breath and every pause until she really had it off by heart. And then on set, the sound recordist and sound designer, actually somebody I've worked with for a really long time called Tim Barker, he had a system set up whereby the actors had a small earpiece, mm-hmm. and then he would play back the recordings kind of directly into their ear. And then really the actors would kind of do take after take on a loop until we'd got it, and then we'd move on to the next one. And really, we had a very tight schedule, so people had to really be incredibly accurate and spot on, and they were. They did an amazing job.
What was it like to make a film in such a socially deprived area? And what did the local residents make of the finished product?
Well, the people on the Arbour have really... there's a kind of sense of ownership of the film, and they're very... proud of it, which it's a really difficult subject matter, and I hadn't really necessarily expected that. I'd hoped for it, and people were very welcoming and involved. And in the scenes where you see the Arbour performed on Brafferton Arbour, the people that you see in the background are people who happen to be there. So the size of that audience would depend on what time of day it was, mm-hmm. and what day of the week mm-hmm. it was. So Saturday morning, we got a really big crowd. And, you know, 10 o'clock on a weekday morning when the kids were at school, we didn't get such mm-hmm. a big crowd. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, people were really interested in what was going on. And also, you know, that's when we were actually filming. And then in the lead up to that, really, I was spending a lot of time there and interviewing people a bit like this. and got to know people very, very well. And, you know... a really lovely bunch of people.
And with the likes of Steve McQueen and Gillian Waring producing great artist film in British cinema, do you think this genre is making a real name for itself at the moment?
I mean, I hope so, or I think so. And, you know, both... I really love Steve McQueen's film and I really love Gillian's film. So I think artists making film is a good thing. I guess I would say that. And... yeah.
And what advice would you give to aspiring directors?
Well, I guess I'd say find something that you feel very passionate about and that you want to be with for 5 years minimum.
And one last question, what are you working with at the moment?
There were a lot of kids around the set when we were shooting the Arbour, and quite a few of them were on horseback, and I really like this group of boys, so I'm back in Buttershaw on the Arbour working with this particular group of boys.
Thank you very much for this, Claire. Thank you.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Corner House, Manchester.
It's time for our recommendation of the week. We've got Bren O'Callaghan, who's our programme manager for visual arts, telling us about another film that opens this week.
I would recommend a documentary that's out at Corner House this week called Donor Unknown. This is a documentary about sperm donation, which might sound like it's a little bit icky, a little bit unpleasant, or even slightly voyeuristic. And I myself came to that film with those expectations and assumptions in mind. But it's actually this really wonderful, life-affirming film. And you think it's about people that have got nothing to do with you, because I can only speak for myself and the people that I know, but I don't know anyone who was born through artificial insemination. But actually, it turns out into this film that's about the nature of family and parenthood and what it is that connects us to other people. people. It's really, really sweet. I definitely recommend it. It follows one particular person, so it's a true life story. A young woman called Jo Ellen Marsh, who's 20 years of age. She comes from Pennsylvania. She's a very confident and engaging young woman, so she makes it a great character to follow through this film. She's always known that she was conceived by artificial insemination, and she tracks down initially her half-siblings via something called the Donor Sibling Registry, which is an internet site in the States. So she starts to meet these siblings, these half-siblings, sisters and brothers as well, and make this connection with them. Then ultimately, and I'm not going to spoil the nature of the film, they track down their father, who is this absolutely incredible figure who is not what they expected. And yet what happens with the film is it's not the children themselves who are disappointed in who their father turns out to be. As you can imagine, he might maybe not as you would want your dad to be. It's actually the parents of the children, or particularly the mothers who conceived from this anonymous donor. They have created this picture in their mind of who this man might be, and they're the ones who are disappointed, not the children. So it's a really, really sweet film. It does make you question about your own relationships with your own siblings, if you have them, or your own parents and your friends, and these kind of families that we build for ourselves, not necessarily born of blood ties. So Donor Unknown, I would highly, highly recommend this.
So that's Donor Unknown, showing from tomorrow, Friday the 17th of June, and all the times are on our website. Okay, that's all we've got time for on this week's podcast. Thanks again to Isabel and Darren for joining us to talk about the new Francois Ozon film, Petite, that of course we highly recommend. And if you want to find out times or about any of the things we've talked about and everything that's on at Corner House, do check out our new website, www.cornerhouse.org. Au revoir.
You've been listening to the Corner House podcast.